Another manifestation of God's marvelous grace. Truly, God has been good to us. Certainly, He has been better to us than we've ever dared to be to ourselves. And as always, it's just so marvelous to know that the God we serve, He's not good just some of the time. He's not good just most of the time. But He's a great God because He is good all the time. We've had a marvelous time here with you all, and to be able to sit at the feet of so many great men of God, and to be able to be in the presence of the Alaskan congregations, I am just so humbled. And to know that God the Father is in the house, God the Son is in the house, God the Holy Ghost is in the house, and to know that God's people are in the house. And of course, Lord willing, we will be leaving you all early tomorrow morning. But it has been a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you all week long. And if you ever have the opportunity to come to Rochester, New York, you come by and visit us at the East Henrietta Road Church of Christ, and there you will find a church where God is exalted, where the Christ is expostulated, where the Holy Ghost is expressed, and the saved, they are edified, the lost is evangelized, and the lazy and lackadaisical, they are electrified. Yes, so we want to encourage you to come by and visit with us. How many of you all got your Bibles? Hold up your Bibles. Praise God. We believe in preaching from the Bible, the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Looking good. James said, wherefore, lay apart from yourselves all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. He said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word only, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. James said, that man shall be blessed in his deeds. And all that James is saying is that the Bible, the word of God, is like a mirror. And one thing about a mirror, like mama used to say, it'll tell it like a T-I-S-T is. Red Fox used to say, ugly folk know who they are. He said, beauty is skin deep, but ugliness goes all the way to the bone. And one thing about the mirror, the spiritual mirror, when you look in the Bible, the Word of God, you cannot change the Bible to fit you. You've got to change yourselves to fit the image that you see in the Word of God. And in a world of religious confusion, we have too many people trying to change the Bible to fit them, when in actuality, we need to change ourselves to fit the Bible. And as the Word of God is preached this morning, I just hope and pray that if you see yourself standing before our awesome God, and if there's anything in your life that you need to rectify, that you will do it before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Let me see if I can mellow out. Yeah, yesterday I got a little carried away. I thought I was at home. And I was so inspired by Brother McGuigan. I just love to hear him preach. And I agree with the preacher. It seemed like anything with an Irish accent just sounds so beautiful. And the fact that he is so scholarly and he can show enough preach, I could just listen to him all day. As a matter of fact, I wish he was here, not me, because I want to hear him just one more time before I leave. But I think I'll take him back home with me in my heart. And I think I will get the CDs as well. Ephesians 4, verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Coupled with that, the book of Joshua, chapter 24, about verses 14 and 15. There the old man Joshua said, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Is that in your Bible? And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood of the gods of the Amorites, and whose land right now you are dwelling. It does not matter to me what you decide to do. But as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Paul said in Ephesians 4, the theme passage for this great lectureship, verses 4 through 6, there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. My subject is coming up, and it's the last statement. One Lord, one faith, and Bill did such a marvelous job with one baptism. Here it is. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. One body, unity of organization. One spirit, unity of sanctification. One hope, unity of consummation. One Lord, unity of our declaration. One faith, unity of our proclamation. One baptism, unity of our application. One God, unity of glorification. So if we are unified in organization, unified in sanctification, unified in consummation, unified in declaration, unified in our proclamation, unified in our application, unified in our glorification, then we ought to be unified in our salvation. Back off, Jerry, you're getting too loud. And then Joshua, a few centuries earlier, that old warrior in his retirement program had the audacity to say, choose ye this day who you are going to serve. Joshua, who was of the tribe of Ephraim. Joshua, whose very Hebrew name, Yeshua, is the name by which we get Jesus. Joshua, who served as Moses' assistant minister for about 40 years. Joshua, who was one of the two of the 12 spies, who when he saw the giants in the land, came back with a positive report at the elders' meetings and said, we can take the land. Joshua, who was 85 years old when he picked up the fallen mantle of Moses. Joshua, who was a great warrior, conquering 31 kings, subduing 31 kingdoms. Joshua, whom God said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Now this old man, at 110 years of age, as he gives his farewell address, in retrospect, he says, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which our fathers served. And he said, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, then you got to make a choice. Choose you this day whom ye shall serve. But here's the part I like. No matter what you decide, I've already made my decision. As for me and my family, me and my wife, me and my children, we gonna stay with the Lord. Now understand something. Joshua is speaking in a polytheistic context, because really one of the greatest challenges we have in the Old Testament is polytheism versus the concept of monotheism. Because in the ancient Near East, they believed in many gods as opposed to the concept of one God. The Canaanites worshiped Baal. The Greeks worshiped Astarte. And then the Chaldeans worshiped the sun god. But Joshua comes along and he says, we are going to serve the one true God. And even today I need to tell you, there's only one God. Not Buddhism, not Hinduism, not Shintoism, not Confucianism, not Allah, not Zoroastrianism, not Judaism, but there's only one God that we serve today. And Joshua said, choose ye this day whom you are going to serve. And then Paul said, there's only one. And you need to understand who this God is. This God is a sovereign God. He's sovereign because God keeps his word. He's the only person I know, when he makes a promise, he stands behind his word. When you make contract with certain other businesses, you want to make sure that they are not a fly-by-night business. You want to make sure that when you make contracts and agreements with certain establishments, you want to make sure that they will be in business to be able to guarantee the guarantee that they give you. But I drop by to tell you today that you cannot go wrong when you do business with our God, because our God will keep his word. Over there in Numbers 23 and about verse 19, Moses said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? And shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken it? And shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received command to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. When God gives his word, he keeps his word. But when you study the Old Testament, you will notice, especially in the old King James Version, that sometimes you see the word Lord in capital letters. And I think Perry spoke about it on yesterday, talking about the tetragrammaton, the four consonants that make up the holy name of God. And we have translated it Yahweh, Yahweh, and then we transliterated it into English where we get Jehovah, because you have the Yod in the Hebrew, you got the Iota in the Greek, but we in the Hebrew, you don't have a J. And so when we transliterated it, we could not get an exact translation, because really the pointing or the vowel system that is associated with those four consonants, it is lost. Even Jews to this day do not even know the real pointing or vowel system that goes with the four consonants. So we really don't know how to pronounce his name. And even the ancient Jews, anytime they came across the parchment and they saw the holy name of God, they wouldn't speak it. They would say, Adonai Elohim. Even Jesus, you remember in John 8, got in trouble with the Pharisees when he told them before Abraham was. And he took the holy name of God and applied it to himself. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And they ripped their garments. And then he said, have you not read in the scriptures where I said, ye are gods? But the holy name of God, the first time we find this revelation about God is in Exodus chapter 3. After Moses has become a fugitive and he has left Egypt and now he's in Midian. And there he is on the backside of the mountain tending to Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep. And while he's out there, Moses noticed in the distance that there is a particular bush that is on fire. And he's seen bushes out there in the pasture catch fire before because of lightning striking the pasture and hitting the bushes and causing little brush fires. But he began to notice that there is something different about this bush. It is burning, but it is not being consumed by the fire. So out of curiosity, he begins to walk towards this bush. And as he gets closer, he begins to hear an audible sound. Something he's never heard before. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. You're getting too close. The ground you're about to walk upon is holy. And then Moses goes towards the bush. And then he has a conversation with God. And God gives him a commission. He says, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt land, the most powerful nation upon the face of the earth, with the most powerful man upon the face of the earth. And I want you to tell, O Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, Moses had a speech impediment. Did you say, Lord? He stuttered. I want you to go down to Egypt. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But Lord, I don't speak that well. I created your tongue. But just in case, take your brother Aaron. Let him be your spokesman. And so Moses go, well, Lord, when I get down there, Lord, they're going to want to know who sent me. So, Lord, I'm going to need your resume. Lord, I'm going to need your biography. Lord, I'm going to need your business card. So when I get down there, Lord, who shall I say sent me? And then God said, Moses, when you get down there, you tell them, I am that I am. Now, we really don't know how to translate that. It could be I am that I am. It could be I will be whatever I want to be. Or it could be like my big mama used to say down in Louisiana, I is what I is. Oh, that's not good grammar, but it's good theology. In other words, Moses, when you get down to Egypt, you're going to find that they have gods that got names, but they ain't. When you get down there, tell them about the God that has amness. Tell them about the God that has isness. Now, if they still want to know who I am, then just ask them, what do you need? Because whatever you need, that's what I am. So Moses, when they ask you about your God, you tell them, I am sent me. And because I am, I can be whatever you need. Okay, y'all missed that. In other words, if you need a doctor, guess what? I am. If you need a lawyer, I am. If you need a friend, I am. If you need a spouse, I am. If you need help,
I am. Because whatever you need, I am what you need. I will be what you need because I am God all by myself. I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. I am self-existing. I am self-consisting. I am self-sufficient. I am self-proficient. I am self-relying. I am self-complying. I am self-evident. I am God all by myself. I don't need anybody to be who I am. I am Yahweh. I'm Elohim. I'm the putter forth of power. I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. I am Elohim. I'm the Lord who is God. I am Jehovah Jireh because I am the God who will provide. I am Jehovah Nissi. I am the Lord who is conqueror. I am Jehovah Shammah. I am the Lord who's always there. I am Jehovah Shalom. I am the God who is a God of peace. I am Elohim. I'm everlasting. Because from everlasting to everlasting, I am God. If you go from the east to the west, I'll just bump into myself. Because I am in all places at the same time because I am God. There's never been a time that I did not exist. There's never been a place that I have not been. I am El Barith. I am the God of covenant. If I said it, I will do it. If I spoke it, I will bring it to pass. I can't help myself. I am Yahweh. I'm the sovereign God. If you want to observe my celestial power, just look to the heavens when you see the northern lights. If you want to observe my creative power, just look to the mountains and see how I bulged out the mountains and I hollowed out the valleys and I formed the seas. If you want to see my destructive power, just look into the storm, look into the tornado, look into the tsunami, look into the hurricane. I can't help myself. I am God. If you want to observe my ancient power, just look to the past. If you want to observe my eternal power, just look to the future. If you want to observe my transforming power, just look in the mirror. I'm God all by myself. Oh, let me slow down. I said I was going to cool out, didn't I? I said, back off. I'm God. I'm too omnipotent to be weak. I'm too omnipresent to ever be absent. I'm too omniscient to ever be ignorant. I'm too eternal to ever be a novice. I'm too true to ever be false. I am too exact to ever be erroneous. I'm too concerned to ever be negligent. I'm too pure to ever be defiled. I am God all by myself. Just one God. There has never been a battle that I could not win. There's never been a burden that I did not lift. There's never been a disease that I did not heal. There's never been a promise that I did not keep. There's never been a doubt that I did not destroy. There's never been a problem that I could not solve. There's never been a door that I could not open. There's never been a mountain that I could not move. There's never been a river that I could not cross. There's never been a valley that I could not traverse. I am God. We have lost a respect for the awesomeness of God. Last night, we left here, and I've been wanting to see Mount McKinley ever since I got here. Might be the closest I ever get to Mount Everest. And Vince is so nice. So we drove out to the park. He said, I think you can get a clear view of her tonight. Now, she's 150 miles away. But I think you can see the mountain tonight. And as I looked over the Pacific Ocean and I saw that mammoth of a mountain, I was filled with awe over the majesticness of our God. He is God all by himself. And the fact, like David, when I consider the heavens and the hands of thy work, I am flabbergasted to say, God, why in the world do you want to have a relationship with us? We don't respect you like we ought to respect you. We don't love you like we ought to love you. But for some reason, in his love, he reaches down and he wants to have a relationship with you and with me. He's an awesome God. He sits high, but he reaches low. He is God all by himself. And since he's sovereign, since he is God, he has the right to demand whatever he wants to demand. My wife, my birthday is March 11th. I just had my 52nd birthday. And my wife, I wish she could be here. The girl is gorgeous. You would look at her and wonder, how in the world did you end up with a woman like that? The favor of God is unfair. But when I have a birthday party, you know what she does? She knows everything I like. And when she gives me a birthday party once a year, she throws that party. And she brings all the foods I like. She knows what kind of gift I want. She brings the people I like. Hey, it's my party. When we come here on Sunday morning, this is a celebration of God. And since he is sovereign, he determines how he's going to be celebrated. Our responsibility is to do what God wants, like God wants it, and to have the right attitude while we do it. We need to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why we can't have any instruments up in here. I don't have any problem with a piano. I don't have any problem with music. But you're not worshiping Jerry. You're worshiping God. God determines how he wants to be worshiped. My edification ought to come from the glorification of God. So what? Listen to your radio when you get out of here. Play your music when you get out of here. But in here, we come for the express purpose of worshiping God. As a matter of fact, let me just walk through the Bible for a moment. New Testament, just very quickly. In the Bible, I don't see anywhere where they played. I don't see anywhere where they plucked or they twitched. I just don't see it. I mean, walk with me just very quickly. I'm almost through. The Bible says, Mark 14:26. Pull it up on your phone. Pull it up. Matthew 26:30. When Jesus is partaking of the Passover, he flips the script. And then he says, from now on, when you observe this in my kingdom, the blood will be represented by this fruit of the vine. My body will be represented by this unleavened bread. And notice what the Bible says, and when they had sung a hymn, is that in your Bible? They went out into the Mount of what? Olives. They sung. No plucking, no playing, no twitching. Hello? And they will walk with me. Go to Acts 16, verse 25. I'm going home tomorrow. I can say what I want to say, Mike, because I won't be here. You just straighten up when I leave. And at midnight, see, preachers, when we come in, we can go on and get in trouble. And then you got to straighten up when we leave. I wouldn't do you like that. Acts 16, verse 25, are you there? Look at what the Bible says. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. So far, I see sung. I see sang. I got King James. But I don't see anybody plucking. I don't see anybody playing. Well, go to Romans 15 and verse 9 where it says, sing unto thy name. Look at what I've seen in the Bible so far. Sung. Sang. Nobody plucking. Nobody playing. Nobody twitching. Well, go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Look at your Bible. Don't look at me. The Bible says, sung, sing, but I still don't see anybody plucking. I still don't see anybody playing. Well, go to Ephesians 5, verse 19. I ain't got time to deal with the Greek. We'll let Jeff deal with that. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Is that in your Bible? You think the Holy Spirit made a mistake? And making melody where? In your... Now, I can't sing as well as Vince. I can't even hold a note in a bucket. But I can sing in the Spirit. Notice what so far we've seen in the Bible. We've seen what they sang, singing. Nobody plucking, nobody playing. Well, go to Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you all richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto God. So far, I see sung, got sang, got sing, got another singing and another singing, but I don't see anybody plucking. I don't see anybody playing. I don't see anybody twitching. Preach, Dr. Houston. Go to Hebrews 2 and verse 12. In the midst of the congregation, will I sing? That's Jesus talking. He said, in the midst, when we sing, he sings with us of the congregation. I will sing that. Look at what I've uncovered. Sung, sang, singing, and another singing. And I still hadn't found anybody plucking. Hadn't found anybody playing. Well, let's go to James 5, 19. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Don't play the blues, pray. Don't play a sad love song, pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing. Look at what the Bible tells us to do. I've seen sung, sang, sing. Another sing, and another sing. Then I see singing. Nowhere in the New Testament did they pluck. Did they play? Did they do any twitching? But I know some little old smarty pants. Well, Brother Houston, it didn't say you couldn't. When our awesome God tells you what to do, okay, let me come like this. My daughters know Daddy loves some Haribo gummy bears. I love Haribo. That's the best gummy bears there are, Mike. I love them. Now, to balance it out for my country's sake, I get a Diet Coke. But I might want some Lay's potato chip on the side. Not the baked ones, but the real ones. Now, when I send them to the store, I say, baby, get Daddy some Haribo gummy bears and a Diet Coke. Make sure Mama see the Diet Coke, but not the gummy bears. And get me some potato chip Lay's. Now, they go to the store. and they come back with Diet Coke, Haribo gummy bears, cheesesteak, Snickers. And I say, what's that? Well, Dad, it's everything you asked for. But I didn't ask for a cheesesteak. Did I ask for Snickers? You didn't say we couldn't. Now, you know we need to take them to the cuckoo farm then, don't you? Because when I tell my child what to bring, that eliminates everything else. When God tells us what to do, that eliminates everything else. Yeah, I scream to wake you up. Do y'all get that? He's an awesome God. He's a sovereign God. The most important one is God, because God dictates the other six one, because he is the one who is the author of all the others. So when God says what to do, and I know we got Churches of Christ, because of the entertainment factor, we got to have a good time. Brother, folk not leaving the church because you don't have instruments, because you don't have instruments of music. They leaving because you can't preach. If you preach the truth, you will give them a reason to stay in the church. And then watch this awesome God. This awesome God has a sure word. Watch this. Psalms 119, verse 89. I'm almost through. I was through a while ago. He said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Watch this. The word of God is sufficient. I like the way Brother McGuigan puts it with that beautiful Irish accent. There is a text and there is a subtext. But a text without a context is a pretext. Watch this. The word of God is sufficient all by itself. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine. Why doctrine? That's what's right. Profitable for reproof. Why reproof? That's what's wrong. Profitable for correction. Why correction? Let you know how to get right. Profitable for instruction. Why instruction? Let you know how to stay right. That the man of God, talking about the preacher, that the man of God, when he preaches the word of God, he might be thoroughly equipped unto all good work. Because when the preacher gets up and preach, he's got everything he need right here. Well, why you say that, preacher? At the beginning of this book, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. And the Pentateuch, the Bible said, you should not add unto the words which I command thee, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. And the Bible said that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. At the beginning of this book, it says, don't add to it, don't take away from it. Well, let's go to the Mosaic dispensation in the middle of the Bible. Let's go to Psalms, Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to them that put their trust in him. Add thou not to his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. At the beginning of the book, it says, don't add, don't take away from it. In the middle of the book, guess what it says? Don't add, don't take away from it. Y'all excuse me, sometimes my hair gets in the way. Watch this, now go with me to the end of the book. Go to the Apocalypse, Revelation 22. Verse 18 and 19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto the things that are written in this book, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the things that are written in this book, God shall take away his part out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. What's your point, preacher? At the beginning of this book, you can't add to it. You can't take away from it. In the middle of this book, it says, don't add to it, don't take away from it. At the end of this book, it says, don't add to it, don't take away from it. Question, what part of this book can you add to and take away from it? None of it. Why? Because it is sufficient all by itself. Because the sovereign God has said, this is my word. And God says, since this is my word, when I tell you what to do, that eliminates everything else. And all of this Bible, all 1,189 chapters, they're sufficient. All 31,173 verses, they are sufficient. All 773,692 words, they are sufficient. All 5,489,386 letters, they are sufficient. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, but they are all sufficient. One testament in the Old, New Testament in the New, but it's all sufficient. Everything God wants you to know is here. And then here's the thing I love about the Word of God. The Word of God is all about one person, and that's Jesus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, he's the Lamb of God for sinners slain. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. He's the Lord of Lord. He is the King of Kings. Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. He is our wisdom. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel. He is our rock. Hosea, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nehemiah, Barak, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. He is the Son. Of righteousness, who was a return with healing in his wings. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's the good news. Acts, he's the builder and the founder of the church. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrew, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the bright in the morning star. Listen to what John said. He's the Alpha and the Omega. You know, I admire Jeff. Jeff, my good friend. I just love to hear Jeff. When Jeff preaches, I'd be wanting to jump, y'all. I just love the way he preaches. He gets into that Greek, and he takes me back to my professors when I was in school, and I took 3 years of Greek, a couple of years of Hebrew, graduate level, undergraduate level, but he just makes me fall in love with the Greek language all over again. And when I got into Greek grammar school, it just blew me away to know that Alpha was the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and Omega was the last letter. And when I thought about that, I used to preach youth rallies, and I came to the conclusion that he's everything I need from A to Z, because he's my A. Because he's got the answers. He's my B, best thing that ever happened to me. He's my C, because he's a cornerstone of my life. He's my D, because he delivered me. He's my E, because from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. He's my F, finest man that ever lived. He's my G, because he took my sadness one day and he gave me gladness. He's my H, because he's the highway to heaven. He's my I, he's invisible, but I know he's there. He's my J, because he's Jesus. He's my K, because he's the King of Kings. My A, he's the Lord of Lords. My M, he's my Messiah. He's my N, because he never let me down. He's my O, because he's omnipotent, omniscient, got omnivision, and all that good stuff. He's my P, because he's the Prince of Peace. He's my Q, because he's the quiet Christ. When they beat him, he didn't say a mumbling word. He's my S, because he redeemed me. He saved me. He's my S, because he saved me. He's my T, because he taught me. He's my U, because he's unconquerable. He's my V, because he gave me victory. He's my W, wisest man that ever lived. He's my X, because he's extra, extra. Read all about him. He's my Y, because 30 years ago, through baptism, I got yoked up to him. And then he's my Z, because he gave me back my Zoom Zoom. One God. What an awesome God we serve. And is there somebody here? Since Bill did such a marvelous job talking about baptism, he made me want to come down and do it all over again. When I think about how he died for me on the cross. And y'all just don't know how Jerry was before he knew Jesus. I can't tell you about it. The elders might kick me out the pulpit. But I was a bad boy. I was pitiful. And I decided, as bad as I was for the devil, when the Lord saved me, the reason I preach like I'm crazy is because I should have been dead a long time ago. I've been shot at, almost stabbed to death. When I was in the service, I was on the DMZ. I went through things where I didn't think I was going to make it out of Korea. But he spared my life. And then my barrack sergeant told me about Jesus. And when I heard the good news about how God loved me and he died for me, it filled my heart with faith. John 3:16, I treasure that passage because it's filled with superlatives when I think about my God. For God, the greatest being, so loved, that's the greatest act. The world, the greatest object, that he gave his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever believeth in him, the greatest privilege, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the greatest promise. And I believe it with all my heart, Hebrews 11 verse 6, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. I repented of all my sins, Luke 13 verse 3 and 5. The Lord said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then I confess with my mouth the sweetest name, O mortal tongue, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then I went down that liquid tomb of water baptism, as Bill preached so beautifully, because it is there that I died to Jerry. But baptism is not just a tomb. It is also a womb, because it's where I die, but it's also where I'm born again. And so maybe today somebody would step out and obey this awesome God who gave us his Son and who set up this marvelous organization called the Body of Christ, and who wants to have relationship with us so we can be his bride and we could be his husband. Anybody want to be married to Jesus today? Then now is the time to come. As we're led in a song of encouragement, will you come?